thanks for having me. We're in Psalm 103 this evening. So we're going to bring out the gospel in Psalm 103. This psalm is a psalm full of praise to the Lord, and it's also a celebration of deliverance. So I'm just going to read the psalm now. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all the places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So we can see how the psalm is full of praise, full of praise, and we're thanking God for his deliverance. Galatians 1 and verse 3 to 4 reads, Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So this is a psalm of deliverance, and the Lord Jesus Christ has provided for us a way of deliverance from the power and penalty of sin. We can praise God for his grace and for his peace that he gives. And what is grace? Well, grace is God's kindness towards us undeserved sinners. It tells of what God has done for us. Yes, God is inviting men to receive his wonderful and glorious salvation as a free gift. According to Scofield, instead of looking for good men whom it may approve, grace is looking for condemned, guilty, speechless, and helpless men whom it may save, sanctify, and glorify. You see, peace is the result of grace. You can have peace with God when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. There can be peace in the knowledge that the penalty of sin has been paid. There can be peace in the knowledge that sins have been forgiven. There can be peace in the knowledge that there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 8, verse 1. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins. The Lord Jesus Christ is the sole and sufficient Saviour. It was the will of God, of our God and Heavenly Father, not through our own efforts to merit our own salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ It's God's way of salvation, and there is no other way. Because in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So as we move into Psalm 103, we see it begins with, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. You see, to bless the Lord means to delight his heart by expressing love and gratitude for all he is and all he does. David, who is the writer of this psalm, he is saying, All that is within me, bless his holy name. You see, his whole inner being was focused on the Lord. His heart, his soul, his mind and strength. Yes, this was total commitment to God. And God wants you to commit your life to him. Matthew 11 verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yes, won't you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept his wonderful gift of eternal life. Romans 6 and verse 23, it says, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, first, there must be a full commitment of ourselves, spirit, soul and body, to the Lord. We must trust him, not only for the salvation of our souls, but for the direction of our lives. He gives us direction in our lives through his precious word. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 to 7 says, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. The Lord directs our steps. He cares for every detail in our lives, as we'll see. Verse 2 of Psalm 103. It says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You see, we must not forget all of God's benefits. We take so much for granted these days. But with God there are countless mercies. Psalm 145, verse 9, it says, The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Yes. God has compassion on all. Because it says in John 3 verse 16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Daniel 9 verse 9 says, To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Indeed, we are instructed in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18, In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. See, sometimes we take for granted the things we do have, like our soundness of body and our sight and our hearing, and even the measure of food, clothes, and health and strength that we have. But this psalm is praising God and thanking him for the countless blessings he has upon us. Verse 3 to 5 reads, Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. In these verses we read of six special blessings from God. There's forgiveness, there's healing, redemption, love, satisfaction and renewal. It says that God, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Yes, this speaks of God's forgiveness of sinners. The word used for iniquity pictures sin as something that's twisted and distorted. But those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ will experience God's forgiveness of sin. Because it says, Ephesians 1 verse 7, In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was the one, he died to carry away our sins so that they may never again be seen. John 1 verse 29, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You see, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary was great enough in value to pay for the sins of the whole world. But only those who receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour, are forgiven. Colossians 1 And verse 12 to 14 it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Yes, this passage that I've just read, it describes four saving actions of the Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf. First of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, he delivers us. You see, this means rescued from danger. We cannot deliver ourselves from the guilt and penalty of sin. It is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. The danger, that danger is eternity apart from God. But the Lord Jesus Christ delivers us from the authority of Satan and the powers of darkness. Yes, in the Lord Jesus Christ we are translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You see, in the Old Testament, God delivered Israel from the bondage of Egypt and took them into the promised land. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he lifts us out of the bondage of sin into his own kingdom of light. And he has won the victory over Satan's kingdom of darkness. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he redeems us. We are guilty of breaking God's law when we sin. And by his death and resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ met the holy demands of God's law. You see, the ransom has been paid, and through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is redemption. Yes, that's redemption through his, through him, through the Lord Jesus Christ. He also forgives us. See, redemption and forgiveness go together. The Lord Jesus Christ not only sets free and translates us into a new kingdom, he cancels every debt so that we cannot be enslaved again upon receiving him as our Saviour. God's forgiveness of sinners is an act of his grace. We don't deserve such forgiveness, nor can we do anything to earn it ourselves. Acts 4 and 12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see, salvation is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. No other person could redeem us or forgive us and transfer us out of Satan's kingdom into God's kingdom. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through his precious blood. And that tells us of the cost of this salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ had to shed his precious blood to deliver us from sin. It says in Colossians 2 and verse 13 to 15, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he cancels out the handwriting of ordinances that is against us. When he shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ cancelled the huge debt that was against sinners. Verse 4 of Psalm 103, it says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction? So we can see that our Redeemer is the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the hymn writer puts it, he was God's own Son, the precious Lamb of God, Messiah, the Holy One. 1 Peter 1 and verse 18 and 19, it says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but again with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ was a lamb without blemish and without spot. He is sinless, perfect inwardly and outwardly. In the Old Testament, the sacrificial lambs were to be without defect, but the law in that day was only a shadow of the wondrous, sinless Saviour that was to come. The Old Testament sacrifices, they pointed forward to the person and work and complete work of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. Yes, the sacrifices in the Old Testament, they had to be repeated. Sins were covered and not removed, and that system was done away with whenever the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. We see this happened once the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins at Calvary, because Mark 15, verse 37 to 38 says, "And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost." And the next verse after that it says, "And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom." Why was this? It's because the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from sin forever. When you trust in him and his finished work at Calvary, you are once and for all delivered from the penalty of sin. Amen. Hebrews 10 and verse 10 to 12 says, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins." But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Amen. See, there's no need to repeat the marvellous work at Calvary. There's no need to continually re-sacrifice the Lord Jesus Christ, because it says in Scripture it was one sacrifice for sins forever. Yes, Galatians 3 and 13 says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." The curse of the law is death, and the Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed us by dying in our place, enduring the wrath of God against sin. Indeed, the curse of God fell upon him. He was our substitute. He himself, who knew no sin and did no sin, but all our sins were placed upon him. All our sins were placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5, it says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them which were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be redeemed from the pit of destruction, the pit of hell. You can be brought into the family of God and become a child of God. We see in verse 5 of Psalm 103, "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." You see, there's a popular song it was the Rolling Stones who said they could not get satisfaction in this world, but there is satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life. We'll turn briefly to John chapter 6. And we'll be coming back to Psalm 103. But we're going to read from John 6, verse 35 to 40. "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all of which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Yes, those who come to the Lord Jesus Christ will find enough in him to satisfy their spiritual hunger forever. In order to be saved, you must come to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him by faith. God makes a universal offer, we see. If any will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be saved. God does not save people against their will. You must come to him in repentance of sin and faith. Yes, him, it says, that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, says the Lord Jesus Christ. One must see and recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Saviour of the world. Then you must believe in him by a means of a deliberate act of faith. You must receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Saviour. All who do this receive everlasting life and will receive the assurance that they will be raised at the last day. This last day, it refers to the day when the Lord Jesus Christ will come in the air, when the dead in Christ shall rise first, when the living believers will be changed, and when all will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, to be forever with him through all eternity. The Lord Jesus Christ is the good shepherd who leads us into green pastures, Psalm 23 verse 2 reads. We see in Psalm 107 verse 9 it says, "For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." Psalm 145 and verse 14 to 19 says, "The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them." So if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will hear your cry. He will hear your cry. He is able to save. He did it all at Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ, he went willingly to the cross, and he cares so much about you. He cares about every detail of your life, every detail, he cares about it. He will hear your cry and he will save you, for those that come to him through faith, repentance and faith. In Psalm 103 verse 6, we're going back to Psalm 103 again, reading verse 6 to 8. It says, "The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel." It says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy." Amen. We see in all his dealings, the Lord is merciful and gracious. He is able to guide, to protect, and to provide for every step along life's way. He is slow to anger, and his mercy is steadfast. Yes, being a holy God, God is angry at sin. We have all sinned, but in his compassion, God forgives our sin because he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for our sins on the cross. Lamentations 3 and verse 22 to 23 says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Romans 5 verse 8 to 9 it says, "But God commendeth his love towards us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Yes, through the Lord Jesus Christ, the only way of salvation. Isaiah 1 and verse 18 says, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." He wills that all should come to repentance. It says indeed, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy." Verse 9 it says, "He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. You see, if we received what we deserve to receive for our sins, we would be destined for hell. But God, in his mercy, has provided a way of salvation. The penalty of our sins was paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. Yes, when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, God can righteously pardon us. It says in 1 Peter 3, verse 18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Yes, there is full and free forgiveness of sin available to all who will ask for it. Romans 10, and verse 9 to 13, it says, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. So, if God gave us the punishment that we deserve, we would be without hope. The punishment we deserve was given to the Lord Jesus Christ. He took upon himself our sin on the cross. He did it all for us. Isaiah 53 and verse 4 and 6, it says, "Surely he," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Verse 11, it says, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." You see, this is God's love in providing us, for us, his wonderful plan of salvation. God's plan, God's love for us is immeasurable. God's love, how much he loved us, we cannot measure it. For it says, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him." Sometimes we ask the question, how big is the universe? Well, the sun alone is 93 million miles away, and the entire universe itself is so vast, mankind cannot measure it. In fact, I went on NASA's website to see if they could even begin to grasp it, but they had no answer. They couldn't measure the size or how big the universe was. But if we could measure that distance, we could get some idea of the magnitude of God's love towards us. But we can't. We can't. And talking about infinite distance, that's exactly how far he has removed our transgressions from us, those of us that have put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, east is east, and west is west. Never the two shall meet. So just so those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and put their trust upon him, their sins will never meet. Those sins have been put out of God's sight forever by the miracle of love when the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. 1 Peter 2, verse 21 to 24, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Yes, with God there is forgiveness of sin. Isaiah 43 and verse 25. God says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Jeremiah 31 and verse 34, it says, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbour and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. See, it's only by God's grace that we can be saved. Ephesians 2 verse 8 to 10, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. Yes, were it not for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, there could be no forgiveness of our sins. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely through his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. See, the word here, I mentioned the word justify. Well, this word means to reckon or declare to be righteous. God pronounces a sinner to be righteous when that sinner believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. When God justifies the believing sinner, he not only acquits them from guilt, but clothes them in his own in his own righteousness, making them absolutely fit for heaven. The reason God can declare ungodly sinners to be righteous is because the Lord Jesus Christ has fully paid the debt for their sins by his death and resurrection. When sinners accept the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, they are justified. We are justified through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is able to bring us from the slave market of sin. The ransom was paid, that was paid was his precious blood. What a cost of our salvation. Propitiation is also mentioned in the passage I read from Romans chapter 3. It's a means by which justice is satisfied. See, God's wrath is averted, and his mercy is shown on the basis of the perfect once and for all sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. Yes, the sinner that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is free. Verse 13 and 14 of Psalm 103, it says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. You see, the Lord knows our formation, he knows our frame, because he formed us from the dust, as it says in Genesis 2 verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Yes, God knows more about ourselves than we do ourselves, and hence he cares indeed about every detail of our lives. Verse 15 and 16, it says, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth, for the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. You see, we're likened here to grass. You see, grass that grows, then fades away, and dies. Indeed, Spurgeon put it, we are sown, grown, then blown, and then moan, and then gone. So Psalm 90 verse 5 to 10, it says, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sheep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up in the evening and in the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. You see, the days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labour and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. This tells me that as the scripture says, behold, now is the day, behold, now is the accepted time for salvation. You see, we're only on earth for a period of time. Verse 17 and 18 goes on to say, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. You see, we may die, but God's mercy is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. Yes, God's love is infinite. Romans 5 and verse 8 it says, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God's righteousness is sufficient not only for us, but for succeeding generations as well. So, to experience these promises that we read in God's word, you must be born again. The Bible teaches, as we've seen, that there is only one way to be born again, and that's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember it says in Romans 10 verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We must admit that we're sinners, because it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, Romans 3 verse 10. We must be willing to turn from our sin. This is known as repentance, because it says God commands all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17 and verse 30. Yes, we must believe that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, died for your sins. He was buried and rose from the dead. And through prayer, you can invite him into your life to become your personal Saviour. You see, as you can see, we as human beings have our frailties. We are likened to the grass. We have our weaknesses. Our hope is not in other fragile creatures, but in the eternal God. Isaiah 40 and verse 7 it says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. The psalmist in Psalm 121 verse 2 gets it right. He says, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. We finish the psalm by reading verse 19 to 22. It says, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You see, we have so much to praise the Lord for, because he has provided for us the way of salvation. We could not save ourselves through our own works. We couldn't merit our own salvation. But it's all through the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. Yes, won't you hearken unto the voice of his word? Yes, this word from God that says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3 verse 3. Yes, he must be born again. We pray that the Lord will bless this precious word. And we pray that if you're perhaps even listening on the internet, that you'll come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. And we pray, Lord, we pray for blessing. We'll just close now by singing in the Redemption Song, which is number 161.